Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, March 6, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and welcoming into the studio our good friend, Anna James Mitchell. She is a natural resource educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Anna, good to have you with us.
Good to be here, James.
Thanks so much for making the time today. I wanted to get going here and everything, and I didn't even ask how you're doing and if you're settled in and everything. I appreciate you being able to just jumping right in.
Yeah, of course.
And I appreciate the topic today. As usual, you bring in a topic that we don't get to talk nearly about enough. Now, this one is a little more common, but it happens to be one of my favorite topics in the world,
okay.
Maple syrup. I love maple syrup. It's something that one of those things that I want to make my own someday,
yeah.
And all those things. So I was very excited to dive into this topic with you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I figured it would be a timely topic given that I think some folks are thinking about tapping trees making maple syrup. It's Wisconsin tradition. Wisconsin just has a super rich history with maple syrup.
A very rich and deep history. And
yes.
I like what you did there with the rich. But it's such a deep history. This goes back to Native American roots.
Yeah, it does. So Native Americans in Wisconsin and other states in the upper Midwest use maple syrup as medicine, food, trade goods, and gifts. And while I was doing a little research on the topic, I found that Dr. Susan Deborah Wade, she did her dissertation on the relationship with Native Americans, indigenous people, and maple syrup. And one interesting thing that I found in her dissertation was that indigenous women in Wisconsin would trade maple sugar and other goods with the fur trading companies. Mm. So I thought that was just an interesting, dynamic with maple syrup being the good.
Probably led to the popularity of maple syrup,
right,
in other areas. It's spreading to those areas and everything, then bringing those goods over there. And I don't think many of us, as much as I know about maple syrup, I don't think many of us knew that it had medicine ties to it.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't find a lot of information on the medicinal ties to it, other than that it was mentioned as something that the indigenous people used.
Could have even been a sweetener,
yeah,
for certain medicines that were more bitter or something
it
like
could
that.
Could have been. That's a very good observation. Yeah. And maple syrup, I mean, in early days was a primary sweetener for pioneer homes. So for most of the 1800s, pioneer homes would use maple syrup as sweetener because the import costs and the cost of cane sugar was so expensive.
So that is really interesting.
Yeah, huh. It is. So if we fast forward to modern day history, maple syrup still plays a really large role in Wisconsin's culture and economy. In fact, the state is currently the fourth in nation's maple syrup production.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I don't know if many knew that.
Yep, I didn't.
Figured it was high on the list. Didn't know if it was top five. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. And in 2024, Wisconsin produced 458,000 gallons of maple syrup, and the 2022 crop was valued at $14 million. That's a lot of money in our economy.
I don't like to ask questions that throw at you or anything, but I wonder if that includes you're on the side of the road, your mom and pop maple syrup sellers and some of that. And
yeah. So what I was finding, I can't remember where the report was from, but it did have those different, whatever scale vendors,
sure,
maple syrup vendors, it did account for that cost.
Very cool.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. And some of the better maple syrup you get is usually like that. It's
yes,
so good. So
yes,
good.
Yes, it is. Not the stuff you get off the shelves
nope,
at the grocery store, right?
Nope.
When I said the maple syrup crop, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Maple syrup is actually considered a production in agricultural activity by the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. And woodlands where sap is collected may be assessed as agricultural use value for property taxes and saving producers money. So I thought that was really interesting that it is actually considered a crop here in Wisconsin.
It's very cool. And maybe even a little bit more of encouragement to people out there to look into doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And Wisconsin, there's a lot of for lack of better terms, untapped sources for maple syrup in Wisconsin. So our state has 3.7 million acres of maple forests, and only a small fraction of those, less than 0.5%, are currently being used for maple syrup production. Wow. So as the demand for maple syrup continues to grow nationally and internationally, there's a greater potential for growth in the industry.
So even more reason for people to kind of get out there and start tapping those trees and start doing this.
Yeah. It's super interesting. There are thousands of maple syrup producers in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, we touched on this. You have your small mom and pop. You have maple syrup producers that are at larger scale. So those producers can range from hobbyists who tap only a couple of trees in their yards to those large scale full-time businesses that makes maple syrup from tens of thousands of trees. So a majority of the producers here in Wisconsin are small, small scale producers that maybe tap a couple of hundred of trees.
Wow. Not that it necessarily is exactly what you're focusing on here, but this brings to mind to me when you mentioned the thousands of growers, and every one of these maple syrups is going to taste a little bit different than the other and everything, and how creative that is.
Yeah.
I don't think I, even as a creative, think about that very often, the creative process in ag industry and in things like this. If you are somebody, you know, late to this, if you will, and you wanted to start doing this, how you would make it different than the others.
Yeah.
The creative part of that. And I just find that really cool. I think that's really interesting. And it also speaks to, this is another thing that I love when happens in life. You know, everybody's got their favorite maple syrup and none of us are wrong. Like it's, you know, we all got our favorites and everybody's a little bit different. And I think that just speaks to also why there's so many of these growers, people growing these crops.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. And I think another really cool thing about maple syrup production is that it's a super sustainable agricultural industry or source, right? So the most commonly tapped trees in Wisconsin are sugar maple, red maple, and silver maple, but other species can produce syrup as well. So in fact, syrup can be made from other trees besides maple trees. So you can have birch trees, walnuts, sycamore, and beech trees, but maple syrup, it comes in the name. The maple trees are the most common source for tapping to get maple syrup.
Anna, to ask a city boy question, are you going to get a different flavor from different trees?
Yeah,
you will. It seems like you would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Yep. So it's really interesting. And I was learning a lot while digging into this only because my husband and I are tapping trees for our first time this year. So this was a really relevant topic for my learning experience and for the audience too. Like I had said, maple syrup production is one of the only agricultural crops that comes from a native ecosystem. And it's a very sustainable industry since maple trees can be tapped year after year, decades and even centuries. I was reading that there's a couple of trees in Maine that a family has been tapping for over 200 years.
Wow.
I thought that was super cool.
That's amazing. And I cannot imagine what that tastes like.
Oh,
I got to try that.
Yeah.
I would love to try that.
That would be really cool.
That is really cool, though. Again, another thing that I don't think a lot of us knew about this process, that could be a thing. It makes sense when you take a step back and think about it in the age of trees and some of this, but not something we would have thought of when we're, you know, pouring it on our pancakes or something.
Right. Yep. And, you know, supporting sustainable industries is always really valuable. So I'm going to get into a little bit of the details of how to make maple syrup. So we'll start with a sugar bush, which is a forest stand. So a stand of trees, right, in a forest that's dominated by maple trees. And that's the maple trees are where the sugary sap is collected for maple syrup production. So the forests are natural ecosystems that provide habitat for wildlife, opportunities for recreation, and other ecosystem services like air filtration, soil stabilization, and water purification. So maple syrup producers don't plant the trees, right? They're managing the forest and maintaining the natural ecosystem and then getting the goods of maple syrup from that tree.
Yeah.
So
very cool.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, very. That's it. So getting into the basics of this, yeah. It's kind of like leading us into that.
Right.
Like the basics of the syrup production itself and some of that.
Yep. Wow. So this is just a very high level view of how maple syrup is made. Because I don't know who knows this information. So I thought it would be really cool to share.
I'm taking notes over here. Yeah.
So the first step of making maple syrup is actually tapping the trees. So in January or February, maple producers start drilling holes into their trees and they'll insert taps. So there's specifications on which trees can be tapped, and generally they're looking for trees that are about 40 years old because they're about 10 to 12 inches in diameter. So those trees are large enough to tap. And then the second step is allowing the sap to flow from the trees, right? Maple syrup comes from sap. So in summer, the trees will generate sugar through photosynthesis, and the sugar content then allows the tree's cells to breathe. It promotes its growth, and it accumulates in its roots during the winter as storage, right? So that sugar is created by photosynthesis and stored as an energy source. So when spring comes and the temperatures start to vary between night and day, sap begins to flow up and down the tree, which I thought was really cool. So on warm daytime temperatures, the warm daytime temperatures in spring causes the tree's woods to expand, and the sap in the branches are put under a really strong amount of pressure, which makes it flow down towards the trunk. So if a tree is tapped, the sap that is flowing down towards the trunk goes through the tap and is collected in the buckets. Yep. And then in the evenings or in the nighttime during spring, spring days, you know, that nighttime, it kind of gets below freezing. When that happens, the wood contracts and squeezes off the flow, and then more sap will rush up the tree from the storage and the roots. So it's like just a cycle that's happening within the tree. And that all occurs because of the previous summer's photosynthesis. So it's a really cool cycle.
It's interesting, too, that this is a cycle that would exist even without us doing this, which is always kind of cool to me, similar to bees and honey and some of these things where we've kind of found our our way to insert ourselves into Mother Nature and to find our resources, if you know, and anything we might need there. One thing I want to just go back to for a second in the first steps of this, the idea that a tree had to be certain height or weight or size and age. Again, another thing that I don't think a lot of us knew going into this conversation. That's really interesting too.
Yeah, you know, and I couldn't find the exact reasoning why, but I just thought that it was really interesting to put that little fact in there, like 40 years old. We're looking for a tree that's 40 years old to tap, which I thought was really cool.
We're speaking with Anna James Mitchell from UW Extension, and now we get to harvest. Now we get to harvest that sap.
Yeah. So when harvesting, when the maple syrup producers get to harvest time, they'll catch the sap in the pails that hang in the trees. That's generally like the smaller scale producers will use pails. If you're at the larger scale, what a lot of producers will do is they'll connect tubing systems from tap trees to tap trees, and then they'll use gravity to drain the sap to a central location. And I'll never forget the first time I saw this. I was out in the middle of nowhere, and there was just a stand of trees with this blue tubing going all throughout it. I was like, I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen this. I was really confused by what it was.
A little jarring at first.
Yeah. And then it clicked. Those are maple trees. It must be for maple syrup production. Yep. So after harvesting the sap, the maple syrup producers will create maple syrup through the spectacular process of evaporation. So sap is made mostly of water and a small amount of sugar. In fact, it's actually about 2% sugar and the rest is water. So in order to get syrup, producers will boil the sap, which causes the water to evaporate while the sugars become denser. Then there's chemical reactions in the boiling process that caramelize the sugars and creates that maple flavor and develops the color.
Wow. That's where the color comes from. Okay. All right. Wow.
So it's all chemical reaction. And then the syrup is filtered, and the producers will remove any remaining minerals that might settle out. And then syrup can be graded to industry standards. So basically means they're going to look at the color of the syrup and fitting it into a category based on how much light passes through the syrup. So there's like an actual science behind this that I had no idea behind. And there's actually four categories. categories of flavoring or color that syrup can be categorized as. So the first is a golden delicate flavor, an amber rich flavor, a dark robust flavor, and a very dark strong flavor. So I've never taken the time to consider what flavor my maple syrup is other than maple syrup flavor.
So that is wild, and I've got to look into that more. I want to know the differences of those things, and if I can notice a difference in tasting
maple syrup
them
testing.
And stuff. Yes, I'm gonna have to do it. I have to. This is homework. This is part of my job. I have to do. when it comes to the effort of this too, there's an effort that goes into doing this, and it's such a reward based thing. I feel it feels like.
Yeah, it is a big reward, right? And a lot of effort to get to the end product. In fact, I thought this was really mind-boggling. It takes 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Wow. Yeah.
So that's a lot of effort for 1 gallon of maple syrup.
It really is. This has been so much fun, Anna. I've really been enjoying this, and I'm positive the audience has too. We've got a good 4 or 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do is ask you a couple of real quick questions. And one of them, I appreciate you sharing that you, your husband, you're kind of getting into this world a little bit. When you were doing your homework for this interview or for, you know, doing even some of the studying that you did to do that with your husband and stuff, did you notice any, I don't know how else to put this, evolution to this? I always find it interesting for everything that tomorrow there's a new way of doing this and tomorrow there's a new way of doing that. We're still changing tires the way we always have. You know, that process has really evolved. We're still doing it the same way we did, our parents did and their parents did.
Yeah.
With throughout you kind of giving us the history and the process of this, I'm not hearing a lot of evolution to that. I'm hearing we kind of just do this the way we've always done it, which is cool, I think. There's no right or wrong thing here. I just thought that was interesting. Did you notice any changes or, you know?
Yeah, so I would say innovations to the system. So, historically and most commonly, your smaller scale producers will collect sap in buckets and then boil it. You know, some people use, which we're planning to use, is like a turkey fryer to boil the sap, to boil the water off the sap. Or they'll do it in cast iron over an open fire. But then you have your large scale producers that are converting reverse osmosis systems, which are for water purification. Mm-hmm. They're using the reverse osmosis systems at the larger scale for evaporation and creating syrup. So, I mean, if you think about it, that's innovation within the system. It's not change. They're still the science, the basics are still there, right? They're still evaporating the water content out of the syrup or out of the sap, but they're just doing it in a different way. So there has been evolution in the process, which I thought was really cool.
That is. That really is. When it came to things that surprised you with this research, was there anything that really stood out to you like, wow, I didn't know that. That was fascinating. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I think I had never thought about maple syrup production being as sustainable as it is. You know, it just never dawned on me. And then as I started digging into it and thinking about it, I was like, wow, that is actually really cool. We're using a natural ecosystem in one of the many ways that it can be utilized, and we're not really disturbing it at all, you know, and it's still there as a natural habitat, part of the ecosystem, and we're just maintaining it and making it healthy too.
Hey, we've been doing this a while. You did touch on something I thought was really cool that kind of I hadn't thought of, but really popped in my head as you were describing and talking about some of the process of this. We're able to do this and the tree is fine.
Yeah.
The tree is perfectly fine doing its thing. That's such a... What a great, if you had to give people an example of humanity and nature coexisting and working together, this would be one of the better examples you could give of it.
Yeah, symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, it's just really cool. This is very cool. And something that I don't think we take the time for very often to think of. I know for me, there's no way I'm not having breakfast for dinner tonight. I'll be honest with everybody. After this conversation, it's just humanly impossible. It's not going to happen. But while I'm doing that, pouring on my waffles or whatever I am, I will be thinking about this. I don't think that there will be many times going forward I won't think about some of the stuff we talked about. One of the other things I thought was really cool, and I love to give Wisconsinites points to be proud of. Years ago, I found out doing midday interviews how much ginseng was an import here, and I did not know that beforehand. I think we got some people some new information there as far as taking some pride in something in maple syrup.
I hope so.
It's something that I think most Wisconsinites have a local like love for or a respect for or understand how big it is maybe locally. Yeah. But to see it nationally being ranked fourth, that's impressive. And that's a big tip of the hat to our ag industry.
It is. Yeah, definitely. And just a big encouragement to any of the listeners. I just support your local maple syrup producers. You know, instead of buying the generic brand off the, you know, shelf at the grocery store, which holds its place, but you know, spend a couple more dollars and support your local maple syrup producers.
I second that. I do want to give this, though, with a little bit of a public service announcement to the audience. When you do have that maple syrup, you will not go back.
No.
There is no going back to the store-bought stuff. It's just impossible. There's a place for everything, but that stuff there, especially you're looking for that red label, made in Wisconsin label and everything. The only thing that makes that maple syrup taste sweeter is knowing that it is locally sourced.
Yeah.
Locally, that you're supporting local.
Yes.
Anna, you guys are doing something over Extension. You got a program for maple syrup over there.
Yeah, we have a maple syrup program, which is really interesting. There's a lot of wonderful educational videos and information. It's more geared towards folks who have never grown maple or who have never produced maple syrup, and they're interested in getting into it. So if this is something of interest to you, you want to learn more, I would highly encourage you to visit the UW Extension Maple Syrup program site. Their website is maple.extension.wisc.edu. Like I said, a ton of great videos to get you started and a ton of great information on that website.
I have it bookmarked.
Yeah, okay, good.
I have put it aside already. And Anna, if people have follow-up questions for you and like to know more, how can they reach you?
Yeah, you can stop by the Wood County Extension office or you can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
Always a blast hanging out with you. Thank you so much, Anna. I appreciate you being able to make the time today. We'll talk soon.
Yep.
Well, and more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.